Chapter 0. The Trans-Mongolian Railway. Outside Ulaanbaatar. The train clacks on the tracks, rocking side to side. 100 smells come together. Garlic in an iron wok, wet goat, a tin pail of piss, and nausea forms a rolling boil in Chance's belly. He's not sure the last time he had something to eat, but he has a water bottle within reach. The clear plastic red with step dust. He takes a sip. His throat hurts like a scraped knee. The three men across the table watch him drink. The water tastes sharply of minerals. He's not sure where it came from. They probably filled it up from some spigot on the train. He hopes where the tourists sit, not where everyone else sits. Or worse, where he saw that yak. Chance tries to sniff, but his left nostril is blocked with dried blood. "Do you need anything?" the translator asks. His mouth shows the faintest curl of a smile. His coal black hair is shot through with veins of silver.
"Oh, now you're being nice to me,"
Chance says. His words come out a stuttering croak, the sound of a door creaking and juddering against its frame. The three Chinese men, the old cinder block with the caterpillar eyebrows, his attaché with a razor-sharp line of a mouth, and the translator stare at him as if he's got a third eye.
"We have questions," the translator says.
He's not translating anything yet. The other two haven't spoken aloud, not today. They chattered plenty when they pulled him out of Moscow, though the translator didn't do much translating then either. Mostly he explained what was about to happen.
"We are going on a journey. We are putting you on a train. You will not struggle, or you will meet an unfortunate end. And so will your friends."
Then he said the horrible magic words,
"We have Alina Katan."
So now here Chance sits, feeling sick and dizzy and jumpy, like a spark dancing at the end of a fraying wire. The old man nods to the attaché, who whispers a string of Chinese to the translator. To Chance's North Carolina ears, it doesn't sound like much at all except a series of hissing murmurs. The translator nods.
"My friends want me to tell you that you are not highly skilled, and so they find it strange to be talking to you about this."
"That's not much of a question."
"Please comment upon it."
Panic is a nest of snakes inside his heart. He knows they want something from him, but he doesn't know what. 2 days ago they tried asking him questions and he didn't understand, and so they blackened both of his eyes and took a telescoping baton to his left knee and worked the rest of his torso over with fists before abandoning him here, in this room. Now they're back and he still doesn't know what they want.
"I don't understand,"
he says, drawing a deep breath past cracked lips.
"I get beat up a lot, and my brain's pretty rattled, so help me understand the question."
The old man's mouth tightens into a scowl. The attaché backhands Chance. His head rocks to the side. He tastes blood from his teeth biting the inside of his cheek.
"Spit or swallow?"
He opts to swallow, which only makes his queasiness surge. The translator says with great enunciation, as if Chance is both American and stupid,
"Your technical skills are not worthy."
It occurs to Chance that the translator doesn't translate any of his words to the other two men. They understand English. They just can't or won't speak it to him.
"That's probably true."
"So why are we talking to you?"
Chance thinks he understands now.
"You're saying I'm a pretty subpar hacker. That's probably right. So how am I here?"
He winces and swallows more blood, tries to smile.
"I was selected."
"By your government?"
"If you say so."
"By Typhon, then."
His smile broadens. It is mirthless and red-toothed.
"If you say so."
"How did you stop Typhon?"
Now Chance laughs, a ragged, raspy sound.
"Who says we stopped it?"